nation and all the different political groups, as well as the elites inside the country who are loyal to the Imam and his thoughts and decisions, must safeguard this stance with full strength. The Imam himself had a similar attitude. He never stopped supporting the oppressed throughout the world out of his disdain towards the global tormentors. He used to refer to the Palestinian cause as a central issue at all times. In his testament and his remarks, he made explicit the point that he considered the oppressed nations' urge for support as important. He openly announced his support for the rights of the oppressed Palestinian nation, as well as all other oppressed nations. That is the path of the Imam. That is the Imam's way and advice. Fortunately, the Iranian nation and the government officials have pursued this path. And it is 30 years now that you, the Iranian nation, has been successful and has defeated the enemies whenever it faced American arrogance.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
March 1, 2022. The Americans even felt the need to give birth to a creature called Daesh, or ISIS, which was their trained dog. This creature was trained to publicly film the beheading, burning, and drowning of individuals. It was the US that created this creature. They themselves acknowledged that they created that creature. They are the generators of crisis. If they fail to generate crisis, then their weapons manufacturing factories will not be able to reap maximum benefits. Therefore, they have to create crisis in the world in order to maximize the profit of these mafias.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Thank you. the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who allowed none to witness when He created the heavens and the earth, and who took no helper when He authored the spirits. He has no associate in divinity and no support in unity. Tongues fall silent before the limits of describing Him. Intellects fail before the core of knowing Him. Terence fall low in awe of Him. Faces are humbled in fear of Him, and everything mighty yields to His mightiness. So to Thee belongs praise again and again, well measured, continually, and methodically. And may His blessings be upon His messenger endlessly, and His salutation everlastingly, eternally. O Allah, make the beginning of this day of mine righteousness, its middle prosperity, and its end success. I seek refuge in Thee from a day whose beginning is fright, and whose middle is anxiety, and whose end is pain. O Allah, I pray forgiveness from Thee for every vow I have vowed, and every promise I have promised, and every pledge I have pledged, then failed to keep for Thee. I ask Thee concerning the complaints of Thy servants against me. If there is a servant from among Thy servants, of a handmaid from among Thy handmaids, who has against me a complaint, because I have wronged him in respect to himself, his reputation, his property, his wife or his child, or because evil words I have spoken about him in his absence, an imposition upon him through inclination, caprice, scorn, zeal, false show, bigotry, whether he be absent or present, alive or dead, such that my hand has fallen short and my capacity has been too narrow to make restitution to him or to annul my obligation to him, I ask Thee, O He who owns all objects of need which are granted by His will and hastened to His desire, that Thou blessest Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, peace be upon them, and makest the one I have wronged satisfied with me in the manner that Thou willest, and givest me mercy from Thee. Forgiveness decreases Thee not, and giving injuries Thee not. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, give me on every Monday two favors from Thee: the facility to obey Thee at its beginning, and the favor of Thy forgiveness at its end. O He who is Allah, and none other than whom grants forgiveness for sins.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page. Very welcome to today's episode of the program. Today is a special: how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Today, Sunday, is the 19th of Zilqa'dah, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 29th of Khordad, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 19th of June, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Before starting today's program, we invite you, dear listeners, to listen to the blessed recitation of the Holy Quran, Surah Al-Hajj, Ayah 77.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu rka'u wasjudu wa'budu rabbakum waf'alu al-khayra la'allakum tuflihun.
O you who have believed, bow and prostrate and worship your Lord and do good, that you may succeed.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The ritual acts of bowing and prostration are among the examples of worship. Yet, in this holy verse, these two acts are mentioned beside the Quranic words, worship, which indicate, beside the Quranic word, worship, which indicates both the importance of prayer and these two elements of prayer. By the way, divine salvation or prosperity is the last stage of perfection of which we must be hopeful when we have fulfilled our duties of worships and benefactions. This holy ayah addressing the believers states some general and inclusive instructions which protect their religion, worldly affairs, and succession in all circumstances.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. Allah tadarbi, shukran.
شكراً يا ربي شكراً هديت قلبي شكراً نورت دربي شكراً شكراً يا رب.
Reasons for worship. When man sees the greatness and magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he unconsciously feels humble and weak before him. Just as a person who regards himself insignificant before a distinguished person and scholar also honors and respects him. Man's nature is such that he feels humble before someone upon whom he is dependent. Our very existence depends upon the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we will need him all the time. This feeling of need and deficiency urges man to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for only he is ultimately perfect and independent. It is stated in some ahadith that if there were no death, poverty or sickness, some people would never humble themselves before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa binastain. In this episode, we are going to talk about how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may have at least two stages. One, the verbal stage, and another one is the practical stage. The verbal stage consists of saying and confessing the unicity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and worshipping Him, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in words. For example, in the words, in the form of offering prayers. Practically speaking, I mean, in community, another aspect or another manifestation of Allah, another manifestation of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, finds expression in the form of disobeying tyrants, because tyrants stand in opposition to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, one has to remember that there are certain reasons for worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the first place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need our worshipping Him. As asserted in the Holy Quran, if all people in the universe become disbelievers, I mean, people who no longer believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they wouldn't be able to harm even the least Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one of the great inspirations for worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the grandeur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is too great to be perceived, to be conceived, to be imagined. I mean, His grandeur stands, I mean, far beyond our limits of anticipation or finding out.
IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible.
فجرا جئت بعد العسر يسرا ربنا أعلاك قدرا يا إمام.
All in all, in today's special IRIB English Radio.
Ways to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today's suggestion, zikr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Holy Quran, verily, in the remembrance of Allah, do hearts find rest. Zikr is doing remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in some forms, expressing the natural state of the heart through recitations and supplications. Start small and try simple zikr of Subhanallah, glory be to Allah, Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, La ilaha illallah, there is no God but Allah, and Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest, in every action. This zikr is also known as the everlasting good deeds. Also, according to a narration, the best zikr is to send blessings upon Muhammad and his Ahlul Bayt. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. You may choose a specific favorite zikr of yours to recite while doing your chores, or you can use various zikr found in the Quran and Hadith at different times of the day.
Rabbuna Rabbul Qulubi wa huwa 'allamul ghuyub fi shuruqi wa fil ghurubi nuruhu yahdi al-'asa. Rabbuna Rabbul Qulubi wa huwa 'allamul ghuyub fi shuruqi wa fil ghurubi.
Invalid acts of worship. Servitude, obedience, and worship deserve to be done to the Creator alone, and may and any worship of a phenomenon, human being, creature, or any other is invalid. These invalid acts of worship stem more out of ignorance than alienation from the guidance of the prophets. In the glorious Quran, Allah reckons worship of any other than Him invalid, futile, as well as unreasonable. For in seeking assistance from the others, you ask from other than Allah, knowing that all powers belong to Him. However, the Holy Quran states that power altogether belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you are seeking honor, be aware that honor also belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and is at His disposal. As the Holy Quran states, honor entirely belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you are looking for daily provision and sustenance, be it known that the false deities are not the owners of your sustenance. As such, invalid worship is not only confined to the worship of a stone, wood, the sun, and the moon. The attachment of the heart and soul to any ungodly idea, power, and government is a kind of false worship.
You have certain individuals that they disbelieve in Allah Azza wa Jal. They call themselves atheists, not because there is not enough proof for the existence of Allah. There are certain professors and scientists that they know there is a God, there is a creator, but they choose to disbelieve in God because of the arrogance that they have. I have to submit to an all-powerful being that tells me this is halal, this is haram, do this, do that. No way. Their arrogance, it prevents them from believing in Allah. Many of the atheists of this world, especially the intellectual atheists, the real reason why they're atheists is because of their arrogance. They don't want to submit to an all-powerful being that tells them do this and do that. Their arrogance prevents them from believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you find that Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam, he speaks about this. He says, halakun nasi fi thalath. He says, three qualities will destroy the human being. And one of those qualities that he mentions is arrogance. He says, فَالْكِبَرْ هَلَاكُ الدِّينِ. That because of arrogance, my faith may be destroyed. My religion may be destroyed and wasted. And then he says, وَمِنْهُ لُعِنَ Iblis. Iblis, shaitan. The devil, the shaitan, why was he cursed by Allah and he was kicked out of the heavens? It was because of his arrogance. Allah Azza wa Jal told him and the angels, do sujood to Adam. What did he say? The Quran mentions the story. He says, you created me from fire and you created Adam from clay, from dust. And fire is better than clay. And I'll never do sujood to someone that is inferior to me. Allah told him, this is arrogance. There is no room for arrogance in Al-Jannah. And he kicked him out of Al-Jannah. So this was his weak spot. This all the mischief that exists in the evil that's from shaitan, it's the root cause was arrogance. All he had to do is one sujood to Adam. But he could not overcome that arrogance. And thus there is a beautiful hadith from Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam that says, مَا مِنْ عَمَلٍ أَشَدْ عَلَىٰ إِبْلِيسٍ مِنَ السُّجُودِ. He says, if you really want to aggravate, if you really want to bother and upset the shaitan, do you know what's the best thing to do? Do sujood. Why? The imam says, لِأَنَّهُ أُمِرَ فَعَصَى وَهَذَا أُمِرَ فَأَطَاعَ فَنَجَى. Because sujood is the weak spot of the shaitan. They say everyone has a weak spot. The weak spot of a shaitan is a sujood. That's his Achilles heel. Because this is where he failed the test.
Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page, for listening to this episode of the program, Today's Special. We hope you enjoyed it. For more information on this program and to download for free our previous episodes of this program and other programs of IRIB English Radio, please visit our website at parstoday.com/en/Islam page. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanullah.
They told me that I'm crazy, who you're praying for? They told me there is nothing, who you're looking for? Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were like, yes, I was mesmerized. But deep inside I know that there's a better world. Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and if you're ready, here is an advice worth pondering upon from Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Reza, peace be upon him. Avoid the curse of the oppressed, since they seek adjudication from Allah, and He will never let them down and deny them their rights.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very noble and beautiful hadith, which has been narrated from the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, regarding making the most of one's life, not wasting one's life, benefiting from one's life, not wasting time. You know, life is one of the most, important and significant blessings which we have been given. Life itself, and we should not waste it. We should try to make the most of it. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Be even more niggardly with your life than with your dirham and your dinar." Meaning, just like you would never, spend your wealth and your money on something that was of no significance. You either, especially if it's money that you've earned, right? We're all aware of, you know, this thing. If somebody gives you something, right? As long as we are children in our parents' homes, we don't really have the significance of the money that we have, right? But once we grow older, we go to school, we go to college, we get a job, we start earning ourselves. We realize how difficult it is to earn that money, and we become very niggardly with it. And everybody who is of this age will attest to this. But the Prophet here in this hadith, he encourages people to be more niggardly with our lives, right? With the life that we've been given, with this hayat, with the umr that we've been given, and then money itself, right? Because this is more valuable than it. In another tradition, which is a very famous tradition, has been narrated from Imam Ali, echoing the same theme. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, "Your yesterday has passed on. Yesterday is gone. Your tomorrow is uncertain." We don't know if we're going to live tomorrow. What happened in the past is gone. We can't change it. The future, we don't know anything about what's going to happen in the future. The only thing that remains for us is the present, and your today is to be taken advantage of. Right? So this is a common theme in a lot of traditions, unfortunately this is something that is one of those things that human beings are always afflicted with. It's something that we're afflicted with even more today, with all of these means of entertainment that have been placed at our disposal, right? You know, whether it's TV or the mobiles or the laptops or these other, games, video games and these kind of things. So these are all things that unfortunately have been placed at our disposal so that we can waste our lives. So we should try to stay away from these things as much as possible. Of course, it's not completely possible, especially in this day and age, to completely forego these things. Everybody knows that, but to the extent possible, we should try to avoid them and make best use of our lives. In another tradition, Imam Ali says, "Be cautious of wasting away your lives in that which will not last for you, for whatever has passed of them never returns." Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the value of our lives and not wasting them. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
اللهم صل على محمد محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه
This is Habibullah Fasihzada. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. Thank you so much for joining us, respected brothers and sisters all over the world who are listening to us right now. I really welcome you all, inshallah, in this Quranic session, in level 3 of our Quranic sessions, the Tajweed rules of the Quran Kareem. We are going to continue our previous topics. And we will learn, inshallah, new tips on how to read the Quran Kareem with tajweed beautifully and without mistakes, inshallah, right? So, yes. Brother Ali Nasir, we have here, Brother Hussein Musa, and Brother Hussein Ruhullah, and also Brother Fawad Haider. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
Fine,
inshallah?
Yes.
Okay. How about Ali Nasir?
Alhamdulillah, sir.
Are you okay?
Yes, great.
Okay, that's good, that's good. How about Hussein Ruhullah?
Fine, sir.
Did you start a good day?
Yes.
Inshallah, yeah. Starting your day with Quran is something that a lot of people do not have this chance, yes? But alhamdulillah, you have. So, I hope, inshallah, you've started your day with the Quran Kareem in a very special way, inshallah. So, to start our class, we should recite a salawat.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه
القرآن نور وبيان القرآن هدي الإيمان القرآن مسك الختام يا قرآن عليك سلام
Let's take a quick review about our previous session. In the previous session, we talked about qalqala, right?
Yes.
Bouncing sound. So, qalqala literally means?
Bouncing.
But in the Quranic terms, so it means, in the tajweed terms, it means that there are 5 letters, right, in Arabic, that if they appear with a sukun on the top, you have to produce a bouncing sound. Yes?
Yes.
Make them jump a little. Okay? So, for example, ba, the sakin ba, with an alif, with a hamza, with a fatha. Read it. Fatha. It means hamza and fatha on the top. Then ba, sakin. Can you read it for what?
Ab.
Ab. Right? So the bouncing sound must be very clear. Ab. The next letter was? Okay, Hussein Ruhullah, tell me what are those letters?
Sir, Qaf.
Qaf. Sir, Qaf or Qaf?
No, Qaf.
Qaf, okay. Qaf.
Ta.
Ta.
Ba.
Ba.
Jim.
Jim.
And Dal.
Dal. So, Ba, Jim, Dal, Ta, and? Qaf. If you put them together,
Qutb-e-Jad.
Qutb-e-Jad, okay? So this word, remember Qutb-e-Jad. So these five letters must produce a bouncing sound whenever they appear with a sukun on the top. So, like ab, aj, right? Next one. Ad, at,
aq.
We had different like levels of qalqala. So one level was like a weak one, a normal one, and a strong one. So these five letters, okay, whenever they appear with a sukun on the top, you have to produce a bouncing sound. And also we had different levels of qalqala. We had the weak one and normal one and
strong one.
So the weak one happens when the sukun is an original sukun. Yes, original sukun. So, for example, ab. You do not make it like ab. No. But whenever the sukun is not an original sukun, and you like, you're forced to make a sukun, yeah? To produce a sukun sound, okay? Like what? Like you stop, for example, at the end of the verses. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ د. Right? And whenever like the sakin letter has a tashdeed on the top as well. So since there are two sakin letters, yes? You stop there, for example. حَقَّ قِسْط. This is normal one, but حَقَّ. This is
strong.
So three different levels we had.
IRIB English Radio, in cooperation with Xavier International Schools, presents Let's recite the Quran.
And also we started a new topic about the Arabic letters considering their heaviness and lightness, yes? So yes. Sometimes the Arabic letters are heavy letters. So they have the isti'la attribute, the characteristic of isti'la. Isti'la means they love to go high. Yes, isti'la means, it comes from ala. Ala means high. Yes?
Yes.
Sabbih isma rabbika al-a'la. A'la means the highest. Yes? The high, the most high. So it comes from that word. Isti'la means like they want to be produced like in a high way. In a high way. How? In a heavy way, for example. Oh, this way. Oh. Yes? But on the opposite side, we have like what? Istifal. What? Istifal. Istifal. Okay. So we have isti'la and istifal. These two attributes. They are very important, okay? Attributes of the letters. So the letters having isti'la attribute must be pronounced in a very special way, heavy way, high way. Not that high way, okay, that cars pass by. No, high way, okay? Separately, say the words, high way. So how do you say? The word awesome, you remember I said one day?
Yes.
Awesome. So they must be pronounced in an awesome way, in an awesome way, okay? Not in a happy way, no. And way, no. All way. Okay?
Right.
And on the opposite, the letters having the istifal attribute must be produced with a light sound. With a happy sound. Awesome, happy. They're different, right?
Yes.
So, it is the nature of the letter itself. And also, I gave an introduction about that we have temporary heavy letters. We have always heavy letters. Inshallah, today, in this session, we are going to cover all of them. One of the examples of like temporary heavy and light letters we learned was about the word
Ra.
the word Ra, the letter Ra, and also the word Allah.
Yeah.
And yes. The word Allahumma. Allah. These two yes. words, yes?
Yes.
So, we said that if the word Allah is preceded by a fatha or a dhamma, it means the preface letter, the letter before the word Allah or Allahumma. If that letter has a fatha or a dhamma on the top, it's the word Allah or Allahumma must be pronounced with a
heavy sound.
Letter, yeah.
But if it has, like the letter before the word Allah or Allahumma has the kasra, okay, beneath the letter. So in this case,
light.
A light sound. Can you give me an example with a light sound?
For example,
Billah. Or for example, what do you say after A'udhu Billah? What do you say? A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem. What do you say?
Bismillah.
Bismillah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Very easy example. Alhamdulillah. Lillah. Has kasra.
A'udhu Billah.
A'udhu Billah. He said, yes. A'udhu Billah. Yes. Sabbih isma rabbikal a'la. It doesn't have the word Allah. I wanted to check you out, okay? So, that's about the word Allah. Inshallah. We will now go and cover the next letters. So, simply, we have about the light sounds and heavy sounds. We have three groups. One, light letters. It's just a separate group. Then about the heavy letters, we have two groups. Heavy letters, always heavy letters. Okay? Doesn't matter. They have kasra, they have fatha, they have dhamma. They have this heavy sound. What a heavy sound, it does not mean that they have this complete isti'ala attribute. You don't have to produce, for example, whenever they have kasra, you don't have to produce all sound, no. Because they have kasra. This means that in this case, if they have kasra, they are heavily pronounced. It means it is kind of difficult for the tongue to move if they have kasra. For example, dad, say it with kasra.
Yeah.
It's difficult. It's heavy. Heavy, I will tell you. It means that your tongue, a part of your tongue, especially the back part, the last part of your tongue, it just lifts up, comes up. Whenever you say sin, your tongue is very simple. It's free.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, free to move. But whenever you say look, it is like challenging, yes? Your tongue just... it's kind of challenging for this, for the tongue. So, these heavy letters means this. Okay? And also remember that whenever they have fatha or dhamma, they produce an aw sound as well. Awesome sound. So, let's talk about these heavy letters. What are those heavy letters? Always heavy letters. Do you know? Do you remember when we talked about the Arabic alphabet letters, the pronunciations? I told you that these, like, eight letters are heavy letters. But the letter Ra was conditional.
Yeah.
So the rest of them are heavy letters, always heavy letters. So can you say, for what?
Ayn, Sad, Bad, Dal, Dal, Ba,
okay.
Kaf.
Uh-huh. Was he right?
Yes. No, he said Dal.
Dal?
Yeah,
do we have Dal?
Was not.
Do you say, for example,
Da?
Do. Yeah, you don't say Da.
Yes.
We have
Ahadun. Is it Ahadun? No. Ahadun. Easy. Do. Don't. Don't. Lam yalid. You say. You don't say Lam yalido. Oh. Oh, sound no. Oh, sound no. So what are those seven other letters? Let's repeat the Arabic alphabet letters. It will be clear. Okay?
Ghain too.
Ghain. It is, but not Ain. So, kha,
kha,
sad,
sad,
kha, sad,
dad,
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 ghain,
ghain,
ta,
ta,
qaf,
qaf,
and la,
ba,
la, 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 ta, la, brothers, sadat, brothers, ghain, Only Ghain, not the twin brother Ayn. Okay?
Yeah.
The Ayn is not. Okay? So only the twin brother. Ghain. Kha. Kha is easy, right? Remember. So two twins we have here. Sad and Dal. Ta and Da. And then we have Kha, Qaf, and
Ghain.
Let's recite a salawat. But Allah. Before a salawat, let's give thanks to IRIB English Radio and also Sevier International Schools Network. Thank you so much. We will be back, inshallah.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajhum.
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools. ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
Ya man bada'a khalqi wa dhikri wa tarbiyati wa birri wa taghdiyati habni libtida'i karamak wa salifi birrika bi ya ilahi wa sayyidi wa rabbi أتراك معذبي بنارك بعد توحيدك وبعد من طوى علي قلبي من معرفتك ولهج به لساني من ذكرك واعتقده ضميري من حبك وبعد صدق اعترافي ودعائي خاضع
Brothers and sisters, this part of the Divine Kumail supplication was under discussion. Ya ilahi wa sayyidi wa rabbi. O Allah, O my Master, O my Lord. Aturaka mu'adhibi binarika ba'da tawhidik. Can you be seen tormenting me with fire after I have professed to your unity and oneness? Wa ba'da man qawa alayhi qalbi min ma'rifatik. And after your cognition, my heart has embraced. وَلَهِجَ بِهِ لِسَانِي مِنْ ذِكْرِكَ. And the remembrance of you, my tongue has constantly mentioned. وَاَعْتَقَدَهُ ضَمِيرِي مِنْ حُبِّكَ. And the love of you to which my mind has clung. وَبَعْدَ صِدْقِ اعْتِرَافِي وَدُعَائِي خَاضِعًا لِرُبُوبِيَّتِكَ. And after the sincerity of my confession and my supplication, the humble before your lordship. In this part, Imam Ali alayhi salam is saying that the Almighty Allah, as being known by the prophets, by the imams, by the pious ones and the repentant servants, will not torment such a person with his fire. After the awareness of the servant about these facts, about Almighty Allah's mercy. Now, let us discuss the first concept about this excerpt of the Kumail supplication, which is oneness and unity. So, in the first part, the supplicant says, أَتُرَاكَ مُعَذِّبِ بِنَارِكَ بَعْدَ تَوْحِيدِكَ. Can you be seen tormenting me with your fire after I have professed to your oneness? The human beings have all known the holy essence of Allah and His divine attributes from the Holy Quran, from the traditions, from pondering in the creation of the world and its beings, which practically and mentally teach us that there is one creator and there cannot be another creator other than Him. He is infinite and He is truly the absolute cause. And in this part of the supplication, the supplicant is testifying to Allah's oneness verbally and also wholeheartedly. The supplicant is denying the living idols. And such a person is called the one who believes in monotheism, the one who is muwahhid or monotheist. The divine religions of all great prophets were based on the same oneness and this monotheism about the Almighty Allah. They have all invited people to confirm that there is only one Allah that you need to believe in. And as the Holy Quran implies, the prophets invited the people to practical monotheism, which is denying earthly deities.
Oh my God, my Master, my Lord, and my Nourisher, will you see me punished with the fire kindled by you, despite my belief in your unity, and despite the fact that my heart has been filled with knowledge of you, and when my tongue has repeatedly praised you, and my conscience has acknowledged your love, and despite my sincere confessions and my humble begging submissively made to your divinity. No, indeed you are far too kind and generous to destroy one you nourished and supported, or to drive away from yourself one you have kept under your protection.
Thank you, Allah,
God, let me hear,
feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
So we were discussing this part of the Kumail supplication about monotheism. Ya ilahi wa sayyidi wa rabbi, aturaka mu'adhibi binarika ba'da tawhidik. My Master, my Allah, my Lord, can you be seen tormenting me with your fire after I have believed in your oneness and monotheism? We said that monotheism is the base of all invitations of the prophets and imams to religion. But the theoretical concept of monotheism is also important in purifying the minds